It was good. So I'm glad to be here with you. You guys didn't have any problem finding Acts chapter 8 last night, so let's go back there again tonight. Acts chapter 9, but we're going to look at this tonight. I've had some very kind things said to me this week, and I appreciate that. I appreciate you allowing us to be here all these years. I just want to make sure I get a thank you out. You know, I'm supposed to thank as many times as I ask, right? Well, I don't technically ask to come back, but I do. And so I just want to thank you for letting us be back again this year. It's been good. I was enjoying while you were singing earlier. I was looking around and seeing how many people were getting excited about the singing, not only of, you know, yourself and the privilege, and the kids, but I was watching the smiles on the faces. It was good. It was good. It was encouraging. And I'm sitting back there saying, we're going to have a good night tonight. There's a good spirit there tonight. People are ready to serve the Lord, hear the Lord, preach in the Word. And those young people did stir our spirit, brother and missus. I thank you for that. Are they that way all the time? Oh, my. How many of you would like to have those six or five?
Six.
I just wondered if they would agree how many they had. Yeah. How would you like to have those six running around your house?
Amen.
Woo, yeah, you say amen now.
Grandkids.
Yeah, grandkids, that's right. Well, it's good. It's good to have you here tonight. Good to see a few new faces tonight as well. Do encourage you to be here for tomorrow. If not for any other reason but for the ice cream. I'd come for the ice cream alone tomorrow. Amen. Maybe that's why I'm here. All right, let's get to looking at it. Acts chapter 9, have you found it?
Yes.
Acts chapter 9. Go ahead and stand, and we'll, in respect of God's Word, if you don't have a Bible, I think there's some in the pew there in front of you. And we're just going to read the first six verses here and look at this a little bit tonight. But I have had a great day, and I thank you for making that possible for us all. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you again for the privilege of being back with friends. Thank you for the privilege of being able to speak tonight. And I thank you for the Word of God that we can have and read and study and memorize and tell it to others. And I pray, Lord, you would just help us to do our part with that. Speak to us tonight. We thank you for the testimony they heard. We thank you for the singing. But now it's time for the preaching, Lord. And I just pray that you'd forgive me where I failed you and use me here tonight. I'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, and thanks for it. Holy Spirit, please come in among us and do what you see fit to do tonight. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I think of Saul a little bit sometimes, and I can't but think of myself sometimes when I'm looking at Saul. How many of you say, I wasn't always a real good guy in my life, amen? I could say that, and my interests were in the wrong time. And just like I think of Saul, and I can relate to him, and I like the testimony that he had there, I kind of like it as well and kind of compare it to my own testimony in my life. And I'll tell you another one I like to compare myself to. And not everything about Saul was good, right? But there's a lot of things about Saul Paul that was very good. But there's another person in the Bible I like to think about, and I kind of end up finding myself kind of in the same boat as him. And that's David. Yeah. You know, there's some parts of David, the things that David did that, you know, I've not done, but there's other parts that he had, but it's just kind of like a life. I mean, they're both lives, and so we need to focus on the good, right? Not the bad. Amen. Forgiveness needs to be had, and so I kind of relate to these two fellows and how they've lived their life and ended up finishing well. Amen?
Amen?
And that's how we need to finish as well. So I want you to think with me a little bit here tonight. And we read part of this passage last night as well. But I want us to think about God a little bit here tonight. And, you know, God created us, and God wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to communicate, and just like Saul, we can read about Saul talking to the Lord and David talking to the Lord, and we should be doing that same as well. But I think one of the things God created, when God created us and designed us, that is that we would have that communication with Him, and He would communicate with us. I'm just going to say something. If you're sitting here tonight, and you said, well, you know, I don't have the communication with God the way I should, well, that's not His fault.
That's right.
And if you're sitting here tonight and say, I don't have the conversation with the Lord like I should have or I'd like to have, that is also your fault. God is not at fault on that. He wants us to communicate with Him, and He wants to communicate with us. And He has created us and designed us for just that very thing, fellowship with Him. So let's ask a thing or two here about this question. In this passage of Scripture, we found three questions there. There's three questions there, and we're going to look at those as we go on down through here. Look with me here in verse 4. It said, and he, talking about Saul here, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, let me just ask you there, who was speaking?
Jesus
was speaking, but Paul was, Paul was, or Saul was also saying, the voice saying, he fell to the earth, heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Think about that. I like to look at that passage, and I wonder, why did he have to say, Saul, Saul? Why did he have to say it twice? How many times in our life does God got to maybe say it twice before He gets our attention? You ever think about it? I don't know why it's there, but I just kind of thought about it. Remember, we kind of relate ourselves to Saul a little bit. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And, well, it's kind of an interesting question. Saul there, if the Lord spoke to you that way, called your name out a couple of times, I'm not sure if I'd say anything at all. But I just think of kind of in my life, I think about that. And if God called down to me and He said, Robert, Robert, I'd say, oh no, what did I do now? Isn't that kind of how you feel? Oh no, what did I do now? Why did you have to say it twice? My mother used to call me by my name, and you could always tell by how she called you how much trouble you were in. And sometimes if she came, my mother would call off all my brothers and sisters' names before they ever got to mine. And the more names she called off, I knew the more trouble I was in. And she finally got to my name. It's like, whoo, we're in trouble. Your dad's going to be home in a couple hours. Oh, my, we were in trouble. Yeah. So it's kind of like your story as well. Uh-huh. You were a bad kid, weren't you? Yeah, still a bad kid, maybe? Yeah. Uh-huh. I was a bad kid. We were talking about that a little bit at breakfast today. Not sharing too many stories. But I liked that passage. The Lord speaking. And he says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I could think of a lot of other things I'd like the Lord, if He's going to speak to me, say.
Yeah.
Rather than, why persecutest thou me? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
All right, think about that a little bit. You know, why persecutest thou me? Let me just ask the question here. It's like, why? And you know, we're Saul here, the same thing. And the question could be asked us, why persecutest thou me? What if the Lord asks that, you know, let me just, how could we persecute the Lord, right? How could we do that? I wrote a couple of different things. And what are you doing that could possibly be going against God? What could you be doing that's hurting God? Why persecutest thou me? Well, we could do that, couldn't we? As a lost person? Yeah. How about as a saved person?
Yeah.
Well, we could do that, couldn't we? Yeah. Saul's still lost here. And the Lord says, why persecutest thou? Why are you out persecuting? Why are you hurting my people? Why are you imprisoning them? Why are you getting permission to lock them up? Why are you binding them up? Why are you separating these families apart? Why persecutest thou me? We need to be very careful that we're not doing those same things. It's possible for us to hurt other Christians, isn't it? We can open our mouths. We can say things. We can do things. We can, man, you know what you can do. We know what we're capable of because we watch others do it. But we certainly wouldn't do it. You know, that kind of question there. Why persecute? The Lord asking Saul. We can easily pass off at that and say, oh, Saul was a lot worse than I am. We do that in our lives, don't we? Look at them out there. I'm not that bad. I'm not. Whew. Well, the Lord was done with it. Might be about done with something we're doing as well. So that question there, why persecutest thou me? It's kind of like, why are you rejecting me? We can do that even as a Christian, can't we? Why are you rejecting me? Well, I come and I talk to you and I speak to you. My spirit touches your heart. And then you do something different. Robert. Mark. Daniel. Why persecutest thou me? Well, glory. Why persecutest me? How about this one? Why are you ignoring me? That's got to be persecuting the Lord when we just, I hear you, Lord, but I'm not doing it. We can do it. It's all quiet now. Maybe I should have preached this earlier in the week. You know, when Saul heard that, Saul, he knew he was in trouble. Oh, now what did I do? Why persecutest thou me? Then he heard the question. He knew what it was. Why are you hurting? Why are you rejecting? Why are you ignoring me? Why are you going against me? Why are you? That's bad. That's really, really bad. Well, glory. See, the whole point is God knows. He created us, and He knows. Amen. He knows. Let's move on to the next question. What do you think? Amen? You know what amen means?
Amen.
That means I got it, preacher. I've had enough. Move on. Amen? Well, I don't want the Lord to call out to me and say, why persecutest thou me? Why are you hurting my people? Why are you hurting my children? Why are you ignoring? And we can do that as a Christian as well. So let's look at the next questions here. Verse 4 again, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Goes on down there in verse 5, and he, now Saul is speaking here, and he says, who art thou, Lord? Now, do you think Saul already knew who the Lord was? I think he did, because he was busy persecuting people that maybe were saying this about the Lord and that about the Lord. I wonder what made Saul even act the way that he was. Why was he busy out there persecuting the Christians? And why was he bounding them? Why was he going to the trouble to get permission to round these people up out of their homes and taking them? Boy, he knew who the Lord was. He didn't know all the facts. He didn't know everything about it. Didn't have that personal relationship with him. But he knew who the Lord was, didn't he? Yeah. You know me by name? Saul, why persecutest thou me? Conversation goes on. And he says, who art thou, Lord? The Lord's speaking there. Who art thou? And then Saul answers back, who art thou, Lord? Well, glory. He knew, just like we know, right? We know who the Lord is. We know part of it, but we don't know all the facts about God. We simply don't know everything, and Saul didn't know everything either. He asked that question. Who art thou, Lord? Although he knew. Well, we do something. Don't we do things like that sometimes? The Lord will speak to us. Why persecutest thou me? And we'll say, who art thou, Lord? Knowing who he really is. That's God Almighty, Holy Spirit speaking to you and telling you don't do that or do that. And we just kind of say, who art thou, Lord? Oh, way too quiet. We do that. You know, we just kind of say, who art thou, Lord? We don't, maybe, I don't know what you do, but I know what I do. Let's move on. What do you think? Oh, God. Now it's working. Now it's working. This is a mission conference. I know we're getting to that part right now. Guess what we've got there? Because we've all done that. The Lord's come to us and we said, woo, glory. What did I do now? What did I, think about that. He's saying, what did I do? Then they have a little more conversation. And then we come to the third question. Let me read on down to it. Let me start back in verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, woo, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said the next question, Lord, what will thou have me to do? First started out, Lord, now what did I do? And now it's like, Lord, what do you want me to do? That's where we ought to be, huh?
Amen.
We ought to be there. We were talking about that the other day, about how everyone that's in the ministry, if they're right and where they should be there, there's been a time in their life where the Lord got a hold of them and they got a hold of the Lord. And they said, the Lord, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'm going to do that. I still have a Wendy's napkin somewhere in those boxes I'm unloading. What have we got? 11 more boxes of books to get out of storage room. One of those boxes has a Wendy's envelope in it that I remember looking out the window of my house over at those mountains in Colorado, clear over there, 80 miles away. And I remember writing that napkin out by hand. Here am I, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I'm yours. I don't remember the exact wording. I'm looking forward to really seeing what I said. But no matter what I put on that napkin, that ink, it was from my heart. And I was saying, Lord, I'm tired of persecuting. Who art thou, Lord? I don't know everything about it. But guess what? Lord, what will thou have me to do? And I kind of relate to that. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the funny part of that is, I'll just give you a little bit of my testimony why I relate to that. I'm at 10,000 feet in Colorado looking out the window of my house, not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm changing and getting ready to do what the Lord wants me to do. And I hand it all off to him there. Here am I, Lord, whatever you want. And you know what? I'm living in the middle of nowhere. I didn't even have a phone line. I was the last one on the power line. I was it. I could look out there and I could see 80 miles and I could see those snowy peaks all the time. I was in the middle of absolutely nowhere. My nearest neighbor, I don't remember how far it was, 4 miles. I was doing what I wanted to be doing. You know, that is not city life. Do you understand that? That is just not city life. And so I relate to Saul here. Here he is. He's out doing this. And what did the Lord told him? Just like I said, Lord, what will I have me to do? The Lord said unto him, arise and go. And I went into the city. Guess what? You know where I went to college? Oklahoma City. City. I went to the city. And then I followed into other cities. I wasn't on that mountaintop anymore. And I love it. But that's where I wanted to be instead of where he wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. I have much more now than I did then. Amen. Because I listened and followed and did what he wanted me to do. I finally have peace in my life since I started saying, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Instead of me doing everything that I wanted to do. And he'll do the same with you. That's his promise. Glory. So think about that. Lord, what will you have me to do? All of a sudden there we find a willingness on Saul's part to find out more. He wanted to know more. He wanted more from God there. What would I have me to do? He knew there was going to be some more communication there if it was going to get settled. He knew how he was acting was displeasing thing to the Lord. He was persecuting God's friends and God's people. And he knew that wasn't good. And he knew his acts was pleasing the Lord. He wanted to get closer. He knew he was acting wrong. And he wanted to find out what God's plan was for his life. Well, I'll tell you what, I've been sitting on the front row of the church, not knowing what God's will was for my life, and I was miserable. And I've also been sitting on the front row of a church pew, knowing what God's will was, and I wasn't doing it, and I was just as miserable. If not more so. Mm-hmm. How about you? Just find it out. We need to just maybe quit persecuting and try to get a little bit closer to the Lord and find out what the Lord wants us to do. Amen? Amen. I could be done right now, couldn't I, with this sermon? But I'm going to go on just a little bit.
Oh,
I got 20 more minutes, right? Well, I'll just say, there's my introduction. So should we have that same spirit that Saul had. I'm sorry. I want more. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to follow you. Lord, I'm sorry. Show me what you want me to do and I'll do it. That's what we need to do. So listen to me. We'll get on with this. If you're a note taker, Miss Donna was taking notes last night. She said, I got point number one, but what were the other ones? I'm going to try to help you a little bit tonight. The first thing, and I don't really follow necessarily points or anything, but if I was going to do that tonight, the first one would be, there is a God.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, amen, just right, but I'm not done there. There is a God, amen, and we can read him, we can see all about him. In the beginning, we could read the first verse in the Bible, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That God, there is a God. Amen. And I want you to, I'm going to give you the last verse in that chapter. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31 says, after the creation, after all that's there, he says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Talking about creation there. There is a God. He created this. He created us. We can read some verses like Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, where it says there, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. He created all this. There is a God. We can read over in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Well, we can just look around a little bit and we can see there is a God. Amen?
Amen.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Amen?
Amen.
There is a God. Amen? And he's very obvious to us. We know it, don't we? Amen? We know nature teaches it. Our conscience tells us that. The Bible tells us all through there is a God. Amen? I don't know how people make it. I don't know how people make it. I can't understand why anybody could. I don't see how anybody misses it. There is a God. There is a God. And now that I know him, I can't understand why anyone wouldn't believe that he's real. He's real. And now that I know him, I find out he has so many good things planned for me. And he does for you as well. He loves us. He cares for us, even when we cared nothing for him. And even sometimes today when we reject him and put him on the back burner and say, who art thou, Lord? And we go back on our promises. His are still good. See, what we find is, 1 Peter 3, verse 9, that the Lord is long-suffering to us. Usward, and not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Yes, for salvation, repentance and faith. But then at the same time, we know God, we're born again, and we get away from him. He wants us to repent. He wants us to turn back to Him. Repentance, a simple turn about face. Don't lose your salvation. But we do get away from Him sometimes, don't we? And He wants us to do an about face and get our lives and our actions back where they're supposed to be. There is a God. He is real. He is there. Second thing. How about that, Donna? Yeah. Second thing. There is a God that wants to speak to you. First one was there is a God. And the second thing is there is a God that wants to speak to you. Think about that. God speaks to you on His time frame. Yeah, I think that's okay, don't you?
Yeah.
It's all right with me if He wants to. He's got other things to be doing as well, right? Amen. He might be speaking to someone you're praying for. You never know. So anyway, there is a God. He wants to speak to you. Like we talked, we looked at that. He designed us to communicate with Him. But He chooses when He talks to us. He chooses where He talks to us. He chooses how He speaks to us. Amen. I'm going to go back to Psalm 103 for just a minute and read a couple of verses there. Psalm 103 verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful." You can say amen as we go here. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy." And then it says this phrase, "He will not always chide." The word chide means hold a conversation with. It says there He will not, He just told us about His mercy and gracious and slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And then the psalmist writes, He will not always chide. In other words, what it means, one day He says, that's enough. We're not doing this anymore. I'm done having this conversation now. I don't want to be to that point, do you? No, but, He goes on and says, "He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Aren't you glad?
Amen.
As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy towards them that fear Him. Those that put Him in the right place, right up there where He's supposed to be in His omnis. Well, glory. He chooses when and how and where He speaks to us. And by the way, you may not like what He tells you. But it's the truth. You may not like to hear it. But it's the truth, and that's what He's going to speak. Because that's what He is. Truth. Sometimes we get the banner in the sky, don't we? You ever heard anybody say to you, maybe this is a kind of a husband and wife conversation, "Well, that was sure pretty plain, wasn't it?" Yeah. Didn't have any trouble seeing that one, did you? Sometimes that's what it is with the Lord, too. The banner in the sky, there it is. Woo! Yeah, I see that, Lord. But sometimes after the earthquake and after this and after that, a still small voice. Sometimes we got to shut the radio off. When I was away from the Lord, you know what? I had the radio on all the time. When I drove, the radio was on loud. When I had my car repair shop, the radio was on loud. You know what I was doing? Drowning out what I didn't want to hear. What do you got drowning out what the Lord's trying to say to you? There's a God, and God wants to speak to you. God does not speak to you through alcohol, by the way. God does not speak to you through drugs. God does not speak to you through man-made highs. But that's what the world would like to make you think, amen? Some religions out there that mix medicine and religious things together. That's not how it's supposed to work. In fact, what those drugs and alcohol and man-made feelings do is deceive you and take you away from hearing what God's got to tell you.
Amen.
We need to be very, extremely careful. You even need to be careful on what the doctor prescribes to you, that it doesn't take you away from having a clear, sober mind. If it's a drug that's not good for you and you know and it's going to change your way of thinking, ask the doctor to give you something that doesn't. Mind-altering drugs prevent you from hearing God when He speaks to you. I didn't say all the time, but I did say it can. We need to be careful, don't we? When I had the radio up, you know, I was doing other things too. Because I didn't want to hear what God had to say. I got saved as an 11-year-old young man. I knew I was supposed to be an evangelist at 11 years old. You know when I became an evangelist? In my 30s. Because I had the radio up. I didn't want to hear what God... I listened to the wrong counsel. Well, glory, we need to be very, very careful. Don't be tricked. Don't be tricked. Don't be deceived. See, God does speak to us, right? We know that. There is a God. And God wants to speak to us. Well, Brother Marvin, tell me how God speaks to us. Well, He'll speak to you through the Bible. If you just read your Bible, turn it off and open the Bible, amen? Make sure you got a good one. Check with the preacher and read the Bible. What do you think they did for all these generations before us? They read their Bibles. It meant something to them. God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through the preaching of the Bible. Have you ever been sitting there in your pew and the Bible's preaching? Someone's preaching the Bible and you say, ooh, that kind of hurt. I felt that. I know that. Why? God will speak to you through the preaching of the Word. We say that all the time. Ooh, that's pretty. That I got my toes stepped on. Uh-huh. You're not going to get that with a wimpy Bible or no Bible. God wants to speak to you. He gave us the Bible. The whole thing, there it is, in your language. And somebody like out there translating it into a language for His people. I think it's wonderful. I think it's great. So God speaks to us through the Bible. God speaks to us through the preaching of the Bible. God speaks to us. The Holy Spirit will speak to us. Amen. The testimony of others that speak to us. Amen. There's a lot of things that speak to us because it has to do with the Word of God. I will tell you one thing that doesn't speak to us that a lot of people get tied up in, and that is tradition. Traditions. There's a lot of religions out there that are all tradition and leave the Bible out. God doesn't speak to you through tradition. Those are man's feelings. The Word of God speaks to us. We need to be wise. We need to be careful, not trusting in our feelings. Well, you know, I was at a church the other day, and the guy's up there preaching, and he says, when you leave church, you ought to feel like you just got out of the shower. And I go, really? I mean, sure, we should hit the altar if sin comes up and get it straightened out with the Lord. But when I go to church, I want someone to step on my foot. I want somebody to preach the Word of God and help me to clean things up in my life. After I get some things straightened out, I could maybe feel like I just took a shower. But I want to hear some preaching. That's what these modern days churches are doing. That's why there's so many. They want to just feel like they just got a fresh bar of Dove. They smell pretty and look pretty. No, I want to be right with God more than impress everybody else. Well, glory. That's not my notes either. That's being tricked. That's being deceived. Well, glory. Knowing that the Lord is speaking to you is better than any high you're ever going to get. Don't be tricked. God's things are eternal, not just temporary here in life. That's what drugs and alcohol and so many of this feeling stuff are based on. Just here. I want something that matters. Oh, Jeremiah, think about this here just a minute. I'm going to move on to the next point in just a minute, Miss Donna. There is a God and He wants to speak to you. And Jeremiah, guess what? Jeremiah, he said this in Jeremiah 33, verse 3. He said, or the Lord said, the Lord said to Jeremiah, He said, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. He said, call unto me. The Lord says, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
Call unto me and I will answer thee.
Amen.
He wants to talk to us and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Do your kids know the song? How many of you know that song, Jeremiah 33, verse 3? Call unto me and I will answer thee. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, you know what? That sounds a lot better than some of those songs I've heard out there.
Amen.
You might find somebody better to sing it. I'm sure you could. But why don't you, you know how to memorize scripture? Start singing it. Write that down, Jeremiah 33, and see if it doesn't catch on to you. Sing that, amen? Call unto me and I will answer thee. Promise of God. There's a God. And there's a God that wants to speak to you. And the third thing, Miss Donna, is there's a God and he wants you to speak to him. He wants you to speak to him. Boy, that's not very complicated, Brother Marvin, at all. Oh, well then, why don't you try it? Why don't you try it? Yeah, it just doesn't. Boy, David had it down. Over in Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, David said this. He said, he's talking to the Lord. He said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. David said, I'm going to start my day talking to you. Don't we want the Lord to talk to us? Wouldn't it be great if we started our day off talking to him and him talking to us instead of waiting to the day and say, and instead of hearing him say, Robert, Robert, why persecutest thou me?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be better?
Yes.
Lord, I want to hear from you in the morning. Or I want to hear from you and I want you to hear from me. Oh, Lord. I love that Psalm. Chapter 5, verse 3, in case you missed it. You know what? To God, and he wants you to speak to him. He created us for that. I'm going to ask a question. Please don't answer this. What was the last thing that you asked God? Think. I'm giving you time to think. I got more on the page. What was the last thing that you asked God? Was it for something? Was it for someone? Was it maybe a forgive me? Lord, would you forgive me? What was the last thing that you asked God? Don't remember? That could be a problem too. What was the last thing that you asked God? Man, if you just hold on to that the rest of your life, that'll do it. What was the last? Once you ask God what the last thing is, you ask him. Will you forgive me when you call out his name? Is it in vain? How do we use his name when we call out? Do you really want to hear from God? If you really wanted to hear from God, you'd probably remember the last thing you and him talked about. I hope the last thing you didn't ask him was, will you forgive me? Be merciful to me, O God. Maybe like the publican there in Luke chapter 18, verse 13. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, glory. We need to be where we can hear. We need to be where we can speak to him. We need to avoid places where we can't hear and speak to him. We need to make sure that we have that channel open. Stop doing those things. Listen, this is as plain as this. Stop doing those things that hinder talking to God and him talking to you.
Yeah.
Here's counsel that you get. You know, I've got this and I got a problem with this and I got, well, stop it. Some of you, what's that guy's name that made that funny thing years ago? Just stop it. Gephardt, Gilhard, somebody like that. Bob Newhart, remember hearing that thing?
Yeah.
Just stop it!
Amen.
Well, that's sometimes we just need to do that. Just stop it.
Yeah.
You got everything it takes to stop. The Lord's there to help you. Just stop it. Things that hinder you from talking to God and Him talking to you, just stop it.
Amen.
Well, glory. I'm hearing glories. Now I'm not hearing amens. Well, glory. There are a lot of verses in the Bible. We're not going to go to them all that talk about God speaking to someone and them speaking to God. There's a lot of them, and then we're not going to go to them. I'll give you a couple of them there. Psalm 86, verses 6 and 7. David here, he says, "Give ear, O Lord." You know what he's saying? God, I want to hear from you. First of all, he's talking to him. He says, "Give ear." Talking to God, he says, "Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer." He's talking to him. "And attend unto the voice of my supplication. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me." David knew. He was assured. He goes, I'm going to call out, "Lord, give ear, because I know you're going to answer me." But remember, he can answer when he wants, where he wants, how he wants. And we just need to be patient and continue doing what we're supposed to be doing. We could go over to the book of Job, and I'm not going to because of time, but there's conversations there. Job talking back and forth to the Lord. Job chapter 40, verses 1 to 7. Job chapter 42, verses 1 to 7. But just think about this for a minute. Paul talked to the Lord many, many times over, didn't he? We find a conversation, Paul talking to the Lord. And I kind of like to compare myself to him, but I want to be compared to Saul in the fact that he did communicate with God, not that he had to say, "Why persecutest thou me?"
Right.
He did say, "What will thou have me to do?" That's the conversation that I want to have with the Lord, is, "What will thou have me to do?" Well, glory. We read through the Bible. I'm just asking these meddling questions. I didn't get a real good response last time on them. Don't want it this time either. But what about you? How many times you talked to the Lord today? How many conversations have you had with the Lord today? Yeah, well, He's there. He couldn't speak to you if you didn't read your Bible today through the Bible. You're here for preaching tonight. I hope He said something to you.
Yeah.
If He said something to you, what are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it maybe it's going to be, "Lord, whatever Thou would have me to do, I'm willing to do."
Yeah.
Maybe it's the Lord spoke to you about something you need to get for some forgiveness for. By the 1 John 1:9 still in there. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Right.
Maybe He spoke to you here tonight and said, "You know what, I'm not going to chide much longer on that fact that you haven't trusted me as your personal Savior yet."
Mm-hmm.
Or you haven't been obedient in baptism or joined the church or whatever it is that God's been speaking to you about. Did He speak to you today? Has He ever spoke to you? I hope the last thing you didn't, I hope the last conversation you and the Lord had was not, "Lord, would you forgive me of being a sinner?" In other words, you got saved and stopped right there. I believe there's some folks that are there.
Yeah.
Get saved, trust the Lord as your Savior. You ought to continue doing some things, finding out what more He's got. Well, Saul right there with his conversion, we just read it there. The first action that came from him after him and the Lord had a little conversation is, he quote, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" And that ought to be the first thing that you get start doing once the Lord has saved you and you get your foul salvation settled is, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Yeah. I don't want that conversation coming back. "Why persecutest thou me?" You just need to get busy doing it. Well, glory. Lord, speak to you about something tonight. Maybe you need to come down this aisle and get it settled. Maybe you and your wife, husband, need to come down and get it settled. Maybe you need to get some help. You got something going on in your life, laziness. Maybe it could be some addictive, some forgiveness maybe that needs to be had. There are many things that can keep you from the Lord. You know that? It's a cold, cruel world out there that just doesn't love or care you about you. But the Lord does. He'll forgive you. I hope that salvation wasn't the last time you talked to Him. I hope His calling on your life wasn't the last time you talked to Him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm done. Do you believe that there is just one God?
Amen.
Do you trust Him?
Yes.
Do you believe He wants to speak to you?
Yes.
So it leaves it up to you to have the desire to speak to Him. I'm done. 1, 2, 3 points. Invitation. That's now. What's the Lord spoken to you about? You know what breaks an evangelist's heart? To watch people as you preach, you see the Lord speaking to them, you see the Lord talking to them. Invitation rolls around, music plays, and you watch those folks get up, acting like everything's okay, and walk right back out the door and not do anything about it. It breaks my heart when I'm at a mission conference and I watch people get all excited, talk to the missionaries, get, whoa, man, if I could ever... I'm done. But I don't think the Holy Spirit is. You were here today and He wanted you to hear this. Maybe somebody here wants, maybe somebody in this room, He wants to say, here am I, send me.
Yeah.
Maybe He's speaking to you about something you need to give.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe He's speaking to you about something you need to give up.
Yeah.
I'm done. Would you stand with me, please, if you can? I'm going to pray and hand off. Dear Lord, we love You. And we thank You for creating us. Lord, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for creating us in a manner and having enough love for us to want to speak to us. Lord, I thank You for making us and giving us an opportunity to be able to speak to You. Lord, may we all get our speaking to You lined out where it should be and start out with that, Lord, would You forgive me of being a sinner? And then let it follow from there and find out what You want us to do. Lord, be with the group that's here. You know each and every heart. You know who You've spoken to, Holy Spirit. Now I just pray that You would motivate them to take care of whatever business it is that You spoke to them about before You no longer chide with them. And You don't hold back Your anger anymore. We thank You for it, Lord. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the privilege of being here tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, Pastor.